Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that the Lord is keeping, sustaining, and watching over your life. Yeah, we have begun this study in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we have been in chapter 1. And yesterday we were able to see the concern that Paul had. One of the concerns that Paul had for the Corinthian church. And this was the issue of division. And the division was among men. They were divided. Some were saying they are of Paul, others of Apollos, others of Cephas, who is Peter, and others were saying they are of Christ. And Paul asked this question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And Paul gave an admonition that it is necessary to move away from the distinctions of men, because men have been given different personalities, different abilities, different giftings by which they communicate the same message which is Christ. And Paul was not after followers, after himself. In fact, he was very clear that he did not baptize many of them. In fact, he mentions he only baptized Crispus and Gaius. And he remembers also the household of Stephanas. And he, in his memory, is like, I'm not sure he baptized any other person. And it's very clear that Christ did not send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words, wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now, we had the conclusion that the concern was not that Paul was against baptism. In fact, he acknowledges that he baptizes. In fact, where he was writing this letter of the Corinthians, the first letter of the Corinthians, he was writing it from Ephesus, where he had just met 12 disciples who only knew the baptism of John, and he baptizes them in the name of Jesus. And then he also lays his hands on them and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues and they prophesy. So Paul was a firm believer in baptism, but he knew it as a secondary doctrine to the message of the cross. And today, by the grace of God, we look at the message of the cross, because that is the key foundation of his statement that Christ did not send me to baptize, lest the cross, but to preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? To preach the good news. And we'll be able to see the good news is clear. It is hidden in the message of the cross. It is clearly highlighted that the good news is that Jesus came, he died for us, he was the Son of God, he is the Son of God. He laid down his life where unto death he was crucified, death on a cross, and this crucifixion, by which if we accept by faith, then we too offer our sins, we offer our lives, we submit everything that we are, our old man, to the cross. And there is a divine exchange where the Son of God becomes the Son of Man, such that sons of men can become sons of God. And this is the simplified message of the cross. Because Christ did not stay in the cross. He did not stay in the grave. But he resurrected on the third day and he lives victorious. Today he is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all thrones, all principalities, all rulers, all dominions. And by his seat he has set us up together with him in that place of authority. We are united with him in Christ. And that's why the Bible says in Christ. And Christ is becomes not only the person, the anointing that is on Jesus, the anointed one, but it also Christ becomes the office of the Christ, which is the highest office in the heavens, that is far above all thrones, all dominions, all powers, all principalities. And this office is for the church. And this office is where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is seated. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that he has set us up together with him in the heavenly places, far above. We are seated with Christ in that office. And when we are sat with him, then we can exercise the dominion that Jesus came to win for us, for the church, for the believers, for those that believe, There is a place of dominion. There is a place of authority. There is a place of power. There is a place of rulership by which as believers we stand, we sit, and we are able to exercise the authority that Christ has wrought for us. So Christ becomes our union. It becomes the place where we are united with him. We have this union in the spirit where we are sat with him. And that's why we have to always have this dimension that we are in two places. We are on the earth physically, our minds, our souls, our bodies, we are also seated with him in heavenly places, in our place of authority. There is this bilocation. And when we understand this bilocation, then you should always know when you are operating either from the flesh, from the earthly realm, or when you're operating from the heavenlies. You have to operate with the understanding, with your mind. That's why Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, now that we have been raised with Christ, let us set our minds on things above. That means it is us who have the responsibility to set our minds, to set our focus on the things above, on where Christ has wrought that victory for us. I tell you, when you make a prayer from where you are seated with Christ, then that prayer has authority, because you can command sickness to leave. You can command the demonium, the demons to leave, because you are operating with the authority that Christ has wrought in us. And he wrought when he ascended, when he resurrected from the grave. And that is the greatest power. And that's why it's called the power of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 17. The Bible says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to us to save those who believe. Verse 22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let us take a pause there and take some analysis of what the scriptures are speaking to us. Paul is clear that God did not send him to baptize, and it's not that baptism is not important, but that he was sent to preach the gospel, the good news, not with the wisdom of words. Paul was not an eloquent speaker. In fact, they called him a babbler. They considered that his speech amounts to nothing. His bodily presence amounted to nothing. And that was the wisdom of God. But you see, his letters were weighty. God gave Paul a gift to write. And in his writing, each and every word was a revelation. Each and every statement was not there by mistake. It was written specifically for us to understand the faith, to understand the weight of the glory, the weight of the revelation that God gave this man. And it is a great honor to be able to read his writings. And so he asks, and he gives this message, the message of the cross.
This message of divine exchange, this message that is wrapped in foolishness, because it clearly is a stumbling block. Why is it a stumbling block to the Jews? The Jews expected a ruler. They expected a military king who is going to conquer their Romans, to conquer their Roman rulers. They expected one who will lead an uprising, one who will have soldiers, one who will be like David, who shall lead them into conquests and overcome physical wars. They expected a Messiah, and they are still expecting today, not a Messiah who shall be crucified, who shall be cast, because to them, cast is everyone who hangs on a tree. That was what the message of the law said. Cast is everyone. To them, they expected a Messiah who would be victorious. Yes, God shall fulfill all those promises to Israel when he comes in his second coming. When the second coming of Christ comes, he shall come as that victorious king, and he shall rule from Jerusalem. He shall rule the nations with an iron fist. And that indeed is a prophecy that will still be fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah during the millennium reign, where he shall give memory, he shall fulfill every promise to the house of Jacob, to the house of Israel. Christ shall fulfill that. But you see, the kingdom that Christ was revealing to them was not a physical kingdom. In fact, he tells, is it Pilate, that if my subjects were of this kingdom, they would have defended me, but they are not of here. And in fact, if I wanted, I would have asked the Father, and he would have sent me 12 legions of angels. Christ introduced a spiritual kingdom, one that is not made by human hands, one that is made by God himself, one that God has accorded to him. And this spiritual kingdom is far above all powers, all thrones, all principalities, all rulers, all forces of darkness. Christ is above them all, and he is seated in that place. And when we have that understanding that Christ is the power of God, when you have to come to that revelation that this is the stumbling block that the Jews refused, that is the rock that they refused, that they rejected, that has become the cornerstone, the capstone. Then to the Greeks expected wisdom. They expected their mythological rulers. They expected their mythological gods, ones that came in the form of Hercules or in the form of wisdom, that had signs and wonders that will not have ended in death. No. To the Greeks, they expected one that had a happy ending, one that was ended victorious, one that could demonstrate so many things. To them, they saw death on a cross as weakness. They had no understanding that it was in that encapsulation of that weakness that the power of God lies. And this is what Paul has recognized, and this is what Paul clearly teaches us today. That it is in this message of foolishness of the cross is where hidden the power of God. Yes, we look for power. Men are after power, but they don't know the power is hidden in the simplicity of the message of the cross, in the message of the divine exchange, in the message of forgiveness of sins, in the message of sanctification, in the message of righteousness, by which the cross accomplishes for us that redemption, where we are paid for, our debt is paid in full, where we are made righteous, we are given a right standing with God, and where we are sanctified, where we are continually being made holy. We are made holy before the Father, and that when he looks at us, he sees us holy, righteous, and paid for in full. And this is where Christ's power and wisdom is hidden. This wisdom was not available to the scholars. And that's why he asks, where is the scribe of our age? Because to them, it was the scribes who thought that they were wise. It is the Pharisees. It is the teachers of the law who were sure of the writings that will tell us, oh, Josephus wrote this. Oh, this scribe wrote this. This rabbi wrote this. I can quote this. But when Jesus came to speak, he did not teach like one of the scribes, but he taught as one that had authority. This authority did not come from man. And when they tried to ask him, on whose authority do you say these things? He asked them the question, John the Baptist, on whose authority did he speak? They said, if we say he spoke of men, the people will stone us because they acknowledge that John was a prophet. If they say of God, then Jesus will ask them, why did you not believe him? Then they knew they could not answer. They say, we do not know. And Jesus said, since you will not answer me, I too will not answer you. And from there, no one dared to question him. They could not question him. Why? Because he spoke of a wisdom that is greater than the wisdom of men. Even when Stephen spoke, they wanted to stone him, and they did stone him. But the Bible tells us no one could resist the spirit and the wisdom by which he spoke. There is a wisdom that is of God that no man can resist. It is not about debate. And that's why Paul asks, where is the debater of this age? Where is the scribe of this age? Do you think it is just in a matter of words that you can discredit the sacrifice of the Son of God, the one who shed his precious blood? We were not redeemed with perishable things such as gold and silver from our old way of life, but it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when we know that it is the precious blood of Jesus that routs in us the power of God, the wisdom of God, this message is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. You need to come to God with the simplest faith, with the simplest belief that indeed I am coming to the greatest creator of the heavens and the earth, to the one who shed his blood. By substitution, he offered us a place among the heavens, a place that is of authority. We are given a place among the rulers, among the gods, that we can be also exercised dominion. This is the message of the cross. And anyone that has recognized what Christ has done can exercise the power of God. The wisdom, the hidden wisdom of the power of God, is knowing the authority that Christ has wrought out in us, and us living the life that acknowledges that, that lives a life that is led by the Spirit of God, lives a life that is hidden in Christ and Christ in us. And when we fully express him, when we are filled with all the fullness of the measure of God in Christ Jesus, then the only thing that comes out of us is the overflow of wisdom and power. Christ has two dimensions, wisdom and power. Indeed, we see the wisdom of God to do miracles. Sorry, the wisdom of God to speak and to speak to the hearts of men, and to be able to demonstrate by words, to demonstrate by defeating the wisdom of men. I tell you, the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. If God had a foolishness, Paul tells us that the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. At this point, no man can boast. What is there to boast about? Do you think you can defeat the wisdom of God? Nothing. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Paul is saying, I'd rather be foolish in your eyes, but wise in the eyes of God. I'd rather be weak in your eyes, but strong in the eyes of God. Even though the Jews request for signs, the Jews are after miracles. Oh, this is the sign, this is the sign. And the Greeks are after wisdom. They have both lost it. They have both lost it. But for us who believe, Christianity is about your belief in God. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Paul is telling us, the scriptures are telling us, remember your calling. Think of where you started. Think of the place where Christ picked you from. Many of you were weak. Many of you were not of noble birth. Many of you were despised. Many of you amounted to nothing. Many of you were lost in wallowing in sin, in corruption, in immorality. But it is God that chose. It is God that chooses. He chose not only the strong. He did not choose the mighty. He did not choose the wise. But he chose the foolish things of this world. Those that are rejected. Those that are abandoned. Those children born out of rape. Those children that have been sent away by their parents. Those that have been rejected, born out of wedlock. Those are the ones that God chooses to serve him. Why? Because at the end of the day, no one can boast and say, oh, it is because I did this. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could have right to boast according to the flesh. But when he came to Christ, he realized that, oh, I was a persecutor of the way. And now I am not worthy to even be used by God. It is God that will always take his glory. In fact, he invites us to share in his glory. But when you share in his glory and you look at yourself, then you know it is just a mercy of God. It is just the grace of God that has brought you into the place where you can hear from him, where you can encounter him, where you can be blessed by him, where you can be used by him. Anyone that is used by God constantly walks in humility. The Bible tells us God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The secret of walking with God is humility. The more humble you are, the more grace that you receive. The more submitted you are to his will, the more abundance of power and wisdom that you receive. Anyone that walks in wisdom, that walks in the power of God, is meek. Moses was the meekest man on the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. It is a wisdom of God to know that you cannot depend on your own power. You cannot depend on your own wisdom. You cannot depend on your training. Yes, go for training. That is okay. And all of us should actually go for training. Go for theological training. Take some courses. Study. But that is not our defense. That is not what we depend upon. We still have to constantly go to the throne of Christ and ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak? What is it that you want me to share? It is only those that approach in that foolishness, only those that submit themselves, that experience the power of God, that experience the wisdom of God, that we can speak in wisdom, not in words taught by humans, but words taught by the Spirit, judging spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Only when we are submitted to God. I love how we have seen Christ is wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. But beyond that, Christ also is our righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. Imagine you go to a court of law and you are declared right. To God, he sees you as right. That which you speak, that which he has given you authority to do is right. Righteousness is right standing of God. Sanctification is purification, is being made holy, is a continuous process of being aligned to the image of God, of being transformed, of being conformed to be more like him. We are washed by the blood. We are made clean. Redemption is being paid for in full. We have no debt to the enemy. We have no debt to our past. We have no debt to our failures. We have no debt to our traditions. We have no debt to the generational issues. We have no debt to any written legalities that were written against us because they were taken and nailed to the cross. And God, Christ, made a public spectacle over the enemy, triumphing over them on the cross. That's what the Bible tells us. If the rulers of this age had known that by crucifying the Lord of glory, it would have brought salvation to mankind, they will never have done it. That is where the hidden wisdom of God of the cross was hidden. I pray that God will give us insight, understanding, wisdom, grace, and humility to accept the simplified message, the foolishness of the cross, the hidden power of God that is hidden in the message of the cross. And this cross is not only for Christ, but Christ said, "Let he that desires to come after me to be my disciple, let him take up his cross daily and follow me." We come to what Christ has done. We lay our burdens at his feet. We lay our lives too at his feet. We are crucified with him. We die with him, and we are raised up with him, and we ascend with him, and we sit up with him at the right hand of the Father, at the throne of Christ in the heavens, and we exercise dominion on the earth. The message of the cross does not just end in death and weakness, but it ends in resurrection, in power, in life, and in dominion over every authority that is to be named in this earth, in this world, and in the age to come. This is the message of the cross. I pray that God will give us insight, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, open our inner man to understand and to walk in this truth, that in the cross we find forgiveness of sins, in the cross we find love, in the cross we find power, in the cross we find righteousness, in the cross we find sanctification, in the cross we find redemption, and last but not least, in the cross we find the wisdom of God. I pray that God will give us insight, understanding, and grace and favor. Father, I thank you for your children that have taken a moment to listen to this. May your power rest upon them. May your wisdom rest upon them. May your glory rest upon them. May your grace and anointing rest upon them. May they experience the power of God. May they experience the wisdom of God. May they experience the righteousness, the sanctification, the redemption that comes from you. And may they walk and live in the dominion and authority that you have given them. I thank you that your children are not defeated. They are not weak, but they are strong, and we return all the glory to you, O God. We know this was not from man, this was not from us, but it is from you. And Father, I speak a word of healing to them that need it this morning. I speak a word of blessing to them that need it this morning. I speak a word of wisdom and direction to them that need it this morning. May they experience the blessings, the overflow, the power, the grace, O God. And I speak that wisdom, that spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon them in this very moment. In Jesus' name. Let's pray all this. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day, people of God.